Good evening. In the armed forces way of thinking, there are certain things that soldiers will do or Marines will do or sailors will do to each other to kind of build a teamwork or a camaraderie. And some of you may be familiar with the term challenge coin. Have you heard of that? A challenge coin is a way of somehow being able to partner with someone and say, hey, I'm with you. Here's a little memento, a little opportunity to say, I'm behind you and that we're with you. And sometimes in the Christian world, we do that. We say, hey, brother, praying for you, or things like that. In the relation of your pastor and I, we text twice a year, and that's our little way of connecting. But I'd like to do something tonight, if I could. Pastor, if I could have you come up just for a second before we start, and hope this isn't catching you off guard or out of place. But I'd like to present you with, on behalf of myself as a chaplain in the United States Army, I'd like to present you with a challenge coin. And basically, if you would, every time you see us, remember, Empire Baptist Temple is praying for Lehigh Valley, for your ministries, for your mission works.
Thank
and
you.
Thank
beautiful.
You. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. It's little way that sometimes you get that sitting on the shelf somewhere and it reminds you there's someone praying for you. And those are good. And I'd like you to know that Empire Baptist Temple values Lehigh Valley Baptist. And I know you do the same you do the same in reciprocal. There's no good way to say this. Anyway, I know you pray for us, too. So that means a lot. We're getting towards that time of the age when there's less and fewer, and it means more to have lighthouses in this country and in this world. So I appreciate what this church has stood for many years and obviously is intending to continue to stand for. It means a lot and needs to be continued. So let's take our Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 6. Well, that was a surprise, wasn't it? The book of Ephesians. It's like, oh, we're going there? Is your Bible opening there naturally yet? I love it when I'm in a book so long that I don't even have to look. It just boom. It's like, there it is. It's like, oh, I'm ready to go. One of the worst things in my life is when I've been preaching through a book for months, sometimes a year, year and a half, and I'm getting towards the end and I'm starting to go through withdrawals. I'm like, what am I going to do when we get out of this book? It's been my life for so long and I almost hate to finish it. But that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to be in the end of Ephesians. The finishing product or part of this is what we're going to look at. If you remember last night, we looked at thankfulness out of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, also verse 3. And just recapped what it means to not be thankless, but to be thankful. And that thankfulness, we did not look at this at all, but that thankfulness developed from chapter 5 and verse 21 all the way down through chapter 6 and verse 9, it developed and unlocked this issue of submission. Thankfulness becomes the driver of wives in dealing with their husbands, and husbands in dealing with their wives, and children in dealing with their parents, and parents in dealing with their children, in servants dealing with their masters, and masters dealing with their servants. It unlocks that ability to have that interpersonal relationship at all those levels. And we didn't look at that at all, but I wanted to bring reference to that just for your own knowledge. If you want to go back and study that, those are profound levels of how God expects us to interact, especially in a New Testament church, on this issue of submission. We're going to pick up in chapter 6, at the end of that, there's the word finally. And Paul is notorious for saying finally and not meaning it. This one, he means it. It says, finally, ye, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm in verse 10. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Let's stop right there, and we're going to deal specifically with that issue of standing and the strength to stand. Father, help us tonight as we recap a bit and try and finish what you've given us this week. Lord, we know the Word of God is alive. And were we to take starting Sunday and do this all again for another week, if we were to preach the exact same verses and the same messages, Lord, we know we would leave filled even more. Because you have so much in your Word that just continues to unlock itself as we read it. So, Lord, tonight we know we're not finishing anything, but we're concluding the design of this week and, Lord, beginning a design of the rest of our life. Lord, help us do it right. Please guard and guide my preaching that it might be helpful and edifying to the folk here at Lehigh Valley. Lord, I love you and I pray that you'd bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Strength to stand. The word finally in verse 10 is a word that cannot be accomplished unless we've built to this point. We found in chapter 2, the first three verses, that one is either lost or they've been quickened. And if you've been quickened, that's the first step towards finally. We found in chapter 1 that we are to be to the glory of God. If my life is to be and is being to the glory of God, then that's another step towards the word finally. We got into chapter 2 and began to realize that not only am I to be born again, in other words, quickened and be to the glory of God, but I have access in citizenship or membership to things that are beyond comparison. There's things I already have. There's things I'm going to have. And those are all part of that aspect of citizenship that God has given to us. That's part of getting to finally. You can't have finally without that citizenship organized. We found ourselves the next night, I believe it's Tuesday night, we asked God to touch the impossible. You remember that? We actually wrote down something and or notated it in our mind saying, Lord, this is a hard one. But I'm giving you access to it. I'm giving you authority to go there and help me through this issue. And we've given God rights, in other words, to grow us, to mature us. And that is a step towards getting to finally. We looked in Ephesians chapter 4 in a whirlwind, a moment, but we tried to capture all of Ephesians 4 and remind us that the church is to be in unity. It's not to be divided or separated, and part of that unity requires that submission and that surrender against our own good thinking before we are saved, and surrender to the new thinking, the new mind which Christ put in us, the mind that would seek His glory above our own volition, our own will. And that becomes part of the step towards this finally. As we looked last night, thankfulness is so key. Without thankfulness, it's such a curse. It goes nowhere. It's just like a lost person. But with thankfulness, it opens and unlocks that door to what submission is all about in families and in workplaces and in churches like this. And all of those five levels are key to get to the word finally. Finally is a word for concluding or finishing. We've laid out all the groundwork. Now, this is the last step. And it says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, just across the page of my Bible, a couple pages, Philippians 3, 4, he says this, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath confidence, that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And then he goes on explaining confidence in the flesh. And Paul concludes in the book of Philippians, he concludes that that's just counted as dung that I might win Christ. He refutes that confidence that the flesh can have. And honestly, that's what he's saying in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. There's a lot of things he could have said. He could have said, finally, my brethren, be really good. Behave really nicely. He could have said, finally, my brethren, always pay your bills. Or finally, my brethren, dress really nice. But he didn't. He didn't do all those things that sometimes are valid and rightful and needful. He said, be strong in the Lord. I would like to remind you that the Christian life is not a vacation. It's the vocation, right? And part of that vocation includes warfare. Standing and the strength to stand is not incidental. It's not accidental. There is a war, and it is raging. And as we get to this part of finally, we are beginning to prepare for everything that would keep us from our feet, that would literally knock us flat, that would keep us from standing. I don't think it takes much for you and I to look around the world right now and realize there's a lot of demons that are very loose. They're very free to do their work in our world around us. And it wouldn't take much for you and I to realize there's a battle that's heating up. But for the grace of God, we are entering into an arena in this nation and yea, perhaps in this world that history books have never yet recorded the violence of. It is prophesied, and we know it in Scripture, that it's going to get much worse after God redeems or ransoms us incomplete and takes us out of here. But we know there will be a heating up and a days of Noah type of spirit that is coming. And can I remind you that in those days, it's going to take more than the right haircut and the right clothes design and the right church attendance and the right time of amening and the ability to play a nice piano solo or preach a nice message. It's going to take some men and women who have built number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and they're ready to say, finally, I'm going to be strong in the Lord. Amen. And this is the context of the message tonight. Being strong in the Lord, or strength to stand, as I'm going to define it tonight. Being strong is simply the idea, if you looked at the grammar, it's the idea of not retaining strength, but increasing strength. So no matter who I am and how strong I am, it's the idea of going more and more and more. Some of you have been around here a while. Some of you have been serving the Lord for a day or two. Amen. How many have been in the Lord's work over 20 years? You just look around, or you probably already know whose hands are up. There's a lot of strength already. This word doesn't say rest on your yesterday's strength. The idea is this word indicates an active tense of growing that strength. So it's an increasing strength. Even though I've been doing this for a long time, it's got to get stronger. Be strong. Be strong. That becomes the actual verb. The be strong, not get strong, but be strong in the power. It says in verse 10, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power. That word power just reminds me that God does have dominion. He does have the ability to dominate all. He's got power. He's got that might or that sheer force. And there is no question that God's power, God's strength, it's a lot different than mine. It's quite a bit different. I can read the books on how to succeed, and God's success is totally different. I can go to the library and read books on how to dress for success, how to speak for success, how to live a life of leadership for success. And I find out God's book's quite a bit different. It's got a different mode of strength. So this issue of standing isn't about voting with the right party or even align yourself financially correct or geographically strong. This is different. This strength that the Lord has is quite a bit different than anything we've noted thus far. If I could take you on a little bit of a journey through Scripture, can I do that tonight? We're going to take this idea from Ephesians. I want to look at some things I think can be greatly helpful and beneficial to us on each one of these levels as we go through it. There's three simple things. They're all very easy to comprehend, but they all are part of the finally that each one of us must do. I want to challenge you as we get ready to go into this to strap your seatbelt on. Okay, because we're not going to go fast, but we're going to go into some areas that are going to require us to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to align with you, not with my natural tendency, not with my natural thinking on this. I'm going to actually agree with you that this is the only way to have strength that will stand. Remember, in a church, every individual is like a link. This church is only as strong as each individual strength of each one of our links. So God's not just looking at the church as a whole to be strong and, well, brother or sister, you can just kind of bow out for a couple of days. No, this takes every single member, 100% strength from every single member. And it works together in a whole, and we'll see that as we go on. Let's look first of all at what strength is. When I began to study strength, I found out it doesn't really have a definition. In fact, it's beyond defining. Look over to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Our context, if you remember, it's full of submission. And submission and strength seem to kind of go in opposite directions. In fact, most men would argue that submission is a sign of weakness. In other words, they'd say, well, meekness, that's weakness. And no, it's not. It's quite the opposite. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says this. And let me just get my Bible unstuck so I can get there. He says this. He says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Sometimes it's as simple as being at peace with God and having the joy of the Lord. Sometimes the strength to stand is simply that simple of saying, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful you put me under this place where I can submit. I'm thankful that I get to be part of this citizenship. Lord, I'm thankful that I get to work on the unity of this local New Testament church and to keep the spirit of unity and the bond of peace. Lord, I'm thankful that you saved me. Sometimes that's as simple as it takes to have incredible strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. And we will do a fair bit of turning tonight. Not tons. I think you'll survive and your Bible won't need an oil change by the end. We won't go quite that much, but we'll look at several places to discover what's this all about, this strength of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 2 says how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. These are verses you're familiar with, no doubt, and you've seen them. I've seen them many times. But notice again, the joy when I feel sorrow, that was the context of Nehemiah 8, was a time of, man, this is, I don't know how this is going to work. And God says, neither be sorry. The joy of the Lord, and here in the poverty or the affliction, again, their joy is where their strength is. Can I just encourage you? Sometimes it's that simple. Just naively, simply trusting the Lord and saying, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Sometimes it's just that simple to access strength that will allow you and I to stand no matter what the trial of the day. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, since we're real close there. Look at another level of somewhat trying to define where this strength comes from. In Paul's writings, he says in verse 9, he's dealing with the Lord on an infirmity. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look at verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Sometimes it's weakness that unlocks the strength that God has. Sometimes it's simply getting to the point where we have nothing left. All the goodness and all the built-up energy and all the resiliency is just gone. And we're done. We're at the end. And Paul says that weakness is a glorifying moment because it unlocks the strength of God. God can do things when I'm not trying to do them. I believe that sometimes God has to weaken me in order for His strength to be perfected. There's times God will take us out of our element so that He can become in His element. Amen. Years ago, I was in an automobile accident. And it used to be one of those things that bothered me a lot because of the nature of the accident and the nature of the injury. I had troubles with memory and thinking on my feet and things like that. Sometimes words, they come out garbled, like four words in one. That still happens on occasion, all those things. And it used to bother me a lot. And one day I just realized, you know, God did that. God took me to a place where I didn't have that natural, oh, I got this one. God said, no, you don't. You don't have any of that. And I said, well, I guess I'm done. And the Lord said, no, you're actually just about ready to start. If you'll ever get over yourself and quit being so high and mighty, maybe we can go do something now. Sometimes the Lord has to take our strength away so that we can be strong in the Lord. Young men have a harder time being strong in the Lord than sometimes a widow. Sometimes someone in the scripture who is just, they have nothing left. You know, it's as simple as some of these things we look at. One is, it might be just the joy of the Lord. That becomes your strength. Just saying, oh, I'm excited what the Lord's done. Sometimes it's going through a deep valley where you lose and you're weakened and you're broken and you realize, you know what, God's going to use this. This is where strength is found in weakness. Let's look at another one. Again, hard to define. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter says it this way. And he encourages us through this. By the way, all this suffering and struggling in the Bible is never a negative. It's always a showcasing of God's grace and God's strength. And it's hard to see that when we're going through it. So that's why God let us read about it to prepare us for it before we get there. But in 2 Corinthians 5, and notice what it says in verse 10. There it is. It says, but the God of all grace who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes it's that where God has to suffer me, draw me through something that just is horrible or hard on me. And sometimes it's just as simple as that God takes me through a valley of the shadow of something and I have to figure out, am I okay with this? Lord, am I okay going through this dilemma, this problem? Years ago, our church went through a church problem. I know you've had those as well. Any church in their history where the devil finds out about them has those moments that they look back and say, well, that was a tough year. That was a tough season. And we were going through one of those. And I was so just learning God, you know, as I was going. I was like, all right, Lord, what do we do now? And then something else, Lord, what do we do now? One thing I found is as we got towards the depth of the hardship of that, there is a young man sitting right about where you are, sir. He was sitting there. He'd been sitting there for months. And a young man, his name's Chad. He's one of my deacons now. He was sitting there, and all of a sudden, in the middle of all this hardship, God broke his soul, and he said, I need to get saved. He'd been sitting there as a Catholic visiting our church for months, and I'm just in my mind, well, I'm glad you're here, but boy, we're struggling. And he got saved, and all of a sudden, a couple of weeks later, another family that was sitting back here joined the church. They got right with God and joined the church. I think one of them got saved. They both ended up getting baptized. Give about a year of that, and I looked back, and I was like, that difficulty was the most strength our church has ever had. In the midst of our weakness and our brokenness and our contrite spirit and our broken tears at the altar where we, Lord, this is horrible. And God was just working and working and working. And some of that fruit is the strongest fruit in our church to this day.
Amen.
That's how God does it.
Amen.
Sometimes it's the joy of the Lord. Sometimes it's He has to weaken us. Sometimes He takes us through suffering to bring us to that place. It's hard to define. Lord, what is your strength? How is your strength work? It's really hard to define. Does it take joy? Well, yes. Does it take sorrow? Well, yes. Does it take weakness? Well, yes. It takes all of that and more. Those are three that are highlighted many times in Scripture. So I wanted to draw the attention to that. That really, when we go to define it, we need to realize God will do it His way. Amen. You say, well, Lord, I'd rather you, I'm praying for power and I want you just fill me with your power so that when I walk through a room, people can see the halo and just know that a man of God hath entered. And sometimes God just says, well, let me take you down a notch or two and let you crawl into the room begging for a crumb from the master's table and we'll get something done.
Amen.
And the Lord has the ability to be strong in spite of our arrogance. And I'm glad. I'm glad. There's another level we want to look at tonight, and that is strength when I'm done. In our text, it says, in having done all to stand. Having done all. That's found in verse 13 of Ephesians 6. Having done all to stand. That phrase, having done all, indicates you've completed. You've finished. You've given everything there is to give. You've done everything you know to do. You took the class and you watched the PowerPoint and you fulfilled all the functions. You've done all you could do. And the only reason that it says having done all to stand indicates that when we get to the having done all, the standing is not natural. It becomes a, Lord, I got nothing left. I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried this other thing, and God says, having done all, still be standing. Not just having done all, you're victorious, you're great, of course you're going to stand, but the idea is quite the opposite, that you're done in. You have nothing left. There's nothing left in the gas tank to provide. There's no more, well, I'll go to the Lord and we'll try this, we'll do this, I'll tithe a little more, or I'll pray a little more, or I'll go to church a little more. No, you've done all. And that's another spirit of what strength is all about. Strength when I'm absolutely done. Look over to Ephesians 1. We noticed this the other day, but let's just read this again. Ephesians 1 and verse 19. Ephesians 1, 19, it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power? These phrases, as we see them often in Scripture, they're just words until we get to the point where we have nothing left. And we realize, Lord, I'm done. I have no more to give. As a preacher, I've been there to where I realize, I've sat there and thought, I don't have another message. As a Christian in a prayer where I've gotten to the point, Lord, I don't have another prayer. As a person leading and working with another soul, I realize I don't have another, let's try this one on you. Let's put it this way. Literally, there's times where in my Christian life, and perhaps I'm the only one in the room, maybe not, where you're done. There's nothing left to do but simply stand. Simply be faithful. Simply, I don't know what else to do. And that's where the word exceeding comes in. It indicates that it goes past the top level. In other words, it is off the chart. It's uncharted territory. It's exceeding. It's not something I've ever seen before. Amen. We talk about the power of God and we think about waters that divide. We think about waters that come back. We think about camels that go through the needle, the eye of a needle. We talk about mountains moving into the midst of the sea, right? We talk about a lot of this. But how about the power to just stand? when there's nothing left. Amen.
Good. Amen.
I had a man in my church that was going through a situation, and he watched his family, those very close to him actually, very, very close, get up one day and walk out and never to return. And that man, you just see it all over him. Took him a while. He's like, I have nothing left to do. It's just crushing him. And somewhere in there, I watched and I prayed and I watched, and you could see one day it just clicked. I'm just going to stand. I have nothing left. There's no good thing can I bring except just stand. And I would say to you, there is strength when you stand. I've watched that situation explode with the strength of God since that moment. God can take us to an exceeding greatness of His power, His mighty power. It exceeds no matter where I got done at. That's where He begins at. God often lets us come to the end of our strength so that we might see our need of His strength.
Amen.
We have nothing left except Him.
Amen.
Herein lies a major difference between the Lord's strength and my strength.
Right.
My strength requires my flex. And there's not much of that left anymore. I show it off to my wife every now and then and she squints. I think, oh, that's a bad start to the day. Amen. But my strength requires, you know, my flex in that sense. And God's strength is only visible when I am done flexing. When I'm done, I say, Lord, I just can't lift this up. This load is too heavy. This care is too hard for me. My burden is too heavy. And God patiently allows me to get to that point. And He says, would you cast it on me now? Amen. And then I find out He gives me His yoke, and it's very easy. Look over to Psalm 28. Psalm 28. I want you to consider tonight this strength that happens when we're done. And perhaps this can be a help and an encouragement to some of us even right now. But I have no doubt it can be very beneficial in time to come as we enter into some latter days of warfare and strife that are no doubt coming. In Psalm 28 and verse 7, the Bible says this, the Lord is my strength. That took David a long time to get here, by the way. A lot of trials to get to the point where he understood this. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth with the song, will I praise Him. That seems so simple, but it's like I got to the point where, Lord, I trust You. I can't do this. It's beyond me. It certainly ties into the weakness that Paul was talking about. But I think it's more than that. It's the idea of I'm done. Lord, I have nothing left but to absolutely trust You, and I'll just keep standing. Lord, I don't understand what You're doing, but I'm going to keep standing. Lord, I don't understand all that other people are doing, but I know as for me and my Lord, I'm going to keep standing. Now follow this down in one verse and see where this goes. In Psalm 28 and verse 7, it says, the Lord is my strength and I will praise Him at the end. Verse 8, the Lord is their strength and He is the saving strength of His anointed. In other words, His help is so helpful that it saves. It literally rescues. It literally makes things brand new. I can trust in Him in verse 7 and verse 8. I found out I'm helped. He saved. He fixed. He answered. How I don't understand how that works, but I know I've seen it time again in the Bible. And I've lived it a handful of times to where God takes us through a thing that is undesirable. It's not what we signed up for. It's not what we anticipated when we first got saved and first joined through baptism and started thinking about unity and all those great things. It got to the point where now it's just like the Lord says, let's suck all that wind out of your sails and see if you still trust Me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I, in my life, went through those and decided, Lord, yes, I do.
Amen.
I actually do. And when I've had to personally come to those, I found out that God is so capable of saving.
Amen.
So capable of fixing and healing and helping. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. We read this earlier as well. And so you'll recognize it, no doubt, just from this week. In verse 16, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That same God who created me. That same God who knows my weakness. That same God who knows my timidity or my insecurities. That same God who knows the places that I know I'm a preacher and I know I stand in front of people, but I don't want to go there. He knows all that. That same God can go into those areas and strengthen that inner man.
Amen.
Make something that I am not, that I'm done. Lord, I have nothing left. If you would have seen me when God called me to the ministry, you would laugh. We had a ranch, and down at the end of our little road, about 400 yards from the house where it turned into a county road. And right there at the turn of the county road, we had our gate. At the gate is where we'd have cattle. They'd come up and have a feed or whatever it was. And I remember as a young man standing there and the cows would come up. And I was just scared to death. These cows were looking at me. They're expecting food because someone's at the gate, rattles it a couple of times. And I'd say to those cattle, open your Bible. And I'd start preaching to them. Their big old saucer Jersey brown eyes would look at me and so they'd be chewing their cud. And I'd say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't even preach to a cow. They make me nervous. I mean, I was terrified of people and cows and everything. And you know what? God can strengthen your inner man.
Yes. Amen.
He can take you where you can't go.
Amen.
When you're done, having done all, if you'll just stand and say, Lord, I'll stand in the gap, whatever it means for a house, for a family, for a church, for a nation. It doesn't take heroes. It just takes someone who realizes they're a zero and God's everything. So what it takes is just someone who says, I'll stand. Look over to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 3. The Bible here says, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach the day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be terrified of them. For the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 20 and verse 4 here, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. Folks, I have no idea what next year will hold in our states. You missionaries, I have no idea what you may face in very short order. We have no clue what the Lord may allow us to taste and touch of this age. But I do know this. I've read the second to last chapter in the Bible, and it seems to indicate we're going to need Him.
Amen.
We're going to need more than just our archives of look at what all we did in the last 40 years. Look at what all we accomplished this week. We're going to need a depth that is deeper than us. We're going to have a time when we're done and we have nothing left. And we're going to have to find out whether God is still capable. If all we have to do is stand, can God still accomplish His work? And I would say to you, He can.
Amen.
He can. We haven't seen the wars of the Bible. Most everyone you read about and you and I, we kind of aggrandize and say, boy, they're heroes. Most of these people did not own houses. They did not pay taxes. They were stolen from them through their nationalhood. Most of these people were enslaved for most of their history. Most all these people didn't have the right to bear anything except maybe a lump on the head. That's literally where they lived. And somehow in the context of that, they drug up and said, Lord, we have strength in you. We can trust in you. We can rely on you even when we've done all.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 31, just a couple of pages over in verse 23. Deuteronomy 31, 23. It says he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear thee of, and I will be with thee. That's the key. What's going to happen at the next 2 months of politics? I have no idea. But I do know this. You're not going to vote God out.
Amen.
Israel tried that once. It didn't work. God said, oh, you want that guy? I'll give you that guy. Have fun. They fired Samuel and they got someone else that didn't turn out so hot. But they didn't get rid of God. God literally says, I will be with thee. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. I know I'm flipping back and forth kind of fast on these. And I'm thankful that you know your Bible so well you can get there quick. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Praise the Lord. That's the key. The Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. What do you do at the bedside of cancer? I don't know, but the Lord can stand with me. What do you do at the time where they take a home or they close down a building, which they're doing right now in your nation, in case you're not aware of that? What do you do when they come in and say, you can't do that and you must do that? I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but I do know this, that when I'm done and if I'll just stand, the Lord will stand with me. The Lord is capable of having an amazing strength. Be strong in the Lord. Amen. And in the power of His might, not out of the Lord, not from the Lord, not because of the Lord, but in the Lord. Have that strength.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Strength is hard to define. Strength starts when I'm done. And strength becomes a doctrine. It becomes a doctrine. I'm not going to go to all these for time's sake, but it's an old man's message. It's an old salt. Does that make sense if I say that? An old salt's message that just says, I've been there, son. This is how it looks. And you see this in the Bible. 1 Chronicles 28:20. David said, be strong. The Lord will be with thee. This is an old man talking to a young man saying, just be strong. Just stand. The Lord will be with thee. Isaiah 40:28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? And again, it's a doctrine. It wasn't found in ecclesiology class or soteriology class or eschatology class. It was found in living the Bible with all those doctrines at stake and realizing I got to stand. I have to continue standing. Paul said this to the church at Philippi. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. I can do this. How are you going to do it? What's your game plan? I have no idea, but I can. In the Lord. It becomes a doctrine. Look at one of these in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. That's a full circle of message all in itself, but it's just that reminder. I've been this road before. This road has some hard things, some trials, tribulations. I'll get some experience out of this and I'll remind myself, God can be here. God can walk through these valleys. You see, God is not weaker than my battle. Amen.
Amen.
The sooner I am done and the sooner I trust in Him, the sooner the battle will be won. This becomes a doctrine taught. Isaiah 35, he says, say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and of good courage. I mean, it's a doctrine that is taught through Scripture. Amen?
Amen.
When we get into the book of Ephesians and we're winding this all up and we've looked at every step. We've looked at what it means to be a citizen. We looked at what it means to be saved first and then give God the glory and then become a citizen and then literally put on that unity and that thankfulness and that submission. I believe this is the finally. This is the last thing when you've done all of that, having done all to stand, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. I'd like to leave you with a thought. God does not promise us an easy life. He promises us, lo, I will be with thee always. He promises to be here. He doesn't say it's going to be a rose bed garden walk, but He does promise He'll walk with you.
Amen.
As a church, God is not going to forsake you or leave you. This strength that you and I are talking about tonight is His. If I could leave you with one thought that hopefully sums up the whole week. If we've done every level that God has asked us to, and no matter what now comes, if you and I just simply stand, just simply, God told me to do this, and stand there and just do it, whatever it is. It may be as simple as coming to church or singing a song or praying or whatever it is. If you and I just simply do that, I think we'll understand words like Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Right? There's a strength in just knowing all I got to do. Lord, you've already done all. All I have to do is be here. I just need to stand and be faithful to you. God can do all the rest. Amen?
Amen.
I'm a little over time, but I got to share one verse with you. And I apologize, Pastor. Is that, it's 24 seconds over. I'm being honest. Isaiah 12. And I'll just be real short. This is a private verse for me. So if you don't want to know my private source of strength, don't look at it. But this is what I find often. Isaiah 12, it says, in the day that thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. These are just great words. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And it goes on. You know what I've done in the deepest, darkest moments of my life when I have nothing left? I go back to, and you hath thee quickened who are dead in sins. I go back to the day I was saved. And I say, I go all the way back to that initial moment. I draw water out of that well of salvation. I say, Lord, you saved me. Certainly you can take care of this church family issue. Lord, you saved me. Certainly you can get me over the fear of preaching to cattle, etc., etc., etc. Amen? If you're truly saved, you can have the finally. If you're not truly saved, all the rest is immaterial. It's just preaching. So I ask you tonight, if you're truly a child of God, let's stand. Let's stand for the Lord. Amen? And let's stand in His strength. And if you're not a child of God tonight, I would ask yourself very seriously, Lord, is it my time to become a child of God, to repent of my sin and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and to become a child of God? Amen. Pastor.